The last few weeks we've been discussing Gemilus Chasodim by Chasanas, because we were talking about Hashem help being Goymel Chasodim by Adam and Chava by their Chasanas. We spoke about Gemilus Chasodim by Chasanas in general, and then we've had a few tangents some about Chasanas. So now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we speak about Gemilus Chasodim doing kindness for Avelim, for people who are in mourning, and for people who are dead. That's the topic over here. From one end of the spectrum, utter happiness, to other end of the spectrum, to situations of sadness. Just before we start, I have a machshava that I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Eliyahu Margolis Shlita. He says an interesting vart that the Gemara in Masechas Sukkah speaks about that there's a measurement called a tefach. And the Gemara in Masechas Sukkah speaks about that there's two types of tefachs. Is what we call a tefach seichik, and we have what it's called a tefach atzev, a happy tefach or a smiley tefach, and a sad tefach. What's the difference between a happy tefach and a sad tefach? So, happy tefach is when the measurement of a tefach is you take your hand like this from the top of your index finger to the bottom of the pinky, right? So this is the measurement of a tefach. Maybe it includes the thumb, or it could be the machlekes. If you sort of relax it and you're not so makbit to clench it together, you leave a little bit of space, right? So sort of expanding includes a little bit of space in between the fingers. So that's a happy tefach. When you make it tight and you eliminate the space between the fingers, so that's the sad tefach. That's what the Gemara says. So what's the difference between a happy tefach and a sad tefach? Why is when it's relaxed and there's space in between, it's happy, and when it's mitzumtzam, it's clenched together, then it's sad. What's the difference? So my Rebbe said that that's the difference between happy and sad. Well, how come some occasions something happens and we're happy, and some occasions something happens and we're sad? What's the difference? So when you're happy, you're happy because of an expansion. When you allow the air to come between the fingers, you're expanding what the shear of the tefach is, so that's called a happy tefach, because it's an expansion. So when you have an expansion in your life, or in the life of Klal Yisrael, so that's a happy thing. When someone is born, so you're expanding, you're bringing another person into the world. When you have a bar mitzvah, so you're bringing another person to become a bar mitzvah, to join Klal Yisrael. Or when you have a bris, another person is joining the bris of Avraham Avinu. When you have a chasana, so another person is joining the family. Like we say that it's interesting that the word chasan and kala, which we understand to mean bride and groom and bride, chasan and kala. Literally, if you look in Tanakh, chasan means son-in-law and kala means daughter-in-law. Right? So what's the Indian of chasan and kala? That the happiness of chasan and kala is that the girl's father gets a new son-in-law and the boy's father gets a new daughter-in-law. That's the chasan and kala. You're expanding your family. So when a person gets married, it's a big simcha because you're expanding. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, when a person loyalenu dies, right, or a person loyalenu becomes sick and he can't function anymore, so you're losing a person. Your Klal Yisrael is losing a person. Our family is losing a person. So it's the opposite of expansion. It's being mitzamtzem. So because of that, that's why we're sad. That's the difference between happy cases and sad cases. Okay. So Medrash starts off like this. Gemilus chasodim la'aveilim minayin alumeidim. Gemilus chasodim, doing kindness for people who are aveilim, for people who are in mourning. Perek Yud Zayin, 17. Gemilus chasodim la'aveilim minayin alumeidim. Where do we learn out the Indian of gemilus chasodim that you should do kindness for people who are in aveilus, for a person who's in mourning? We learn it out from Hashem himself. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He Himself did chesed to His servant Moshe Rabbeinu, and He buried him biyadai, with His hand. Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. If it didn't say it in the Pasuk, we would never be able to say such a thing. Shenamar, it says in the Pasuk, V'yom Hashem Moshe Ever Hashem Be'eretz Moyav Al Pi Hashem. That Moshe died over there in Eretz Moav al pi Hashem, and the next pasuk says Vayik bara Yosef Agai, and he buried him over there in the valley or in the mountain. Right? Who's he? He buried. Who's the he that buried Moshe Rabbeinu? So So the Mefarshim are saying, the Medrash over here is saying that the he that buried Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about Hashem. It says, Barav Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe was the Eved Hashem, and the Radal says that it speaks out that he was the Eved Hashem right when he dies to tell you that that's why he was Zeicha, that Hashem is the one who buried him. Moshe Eved Hashem, Beretz Moav, Al Pi Hashem, by the mouth of Hashem. The Chazal tells us that it was Mitzvah Neshika, that Hashem Kibiyachal kissed him, and that's how he died, so Pi Hashem. And then the next pasuk is, he buried him. Who buried who? Who buried whom? Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Chazal is telling us over here. Hashem himself buried Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Medrash is saying. So we see that just like, you know, if there's some da'aleinu and there's no one to bury him, right? We have, let's say, Indian of a meis mitzvah. Mm-hmm. So who's supposed to bury him? Who said that I should bury him? So we learn from Hashem that Hashem, there was Moshe Rabbeinu died, there was no one to bury him. So Hashem took the initiative and buried him, and we want to emulate the ways of Hashem. So Hashem did it, we should do it also. We should also go out and bury people, and we're going to see later on also to do kabilas chasodim for a person who died, to give hespedim and to visit, to be Menachem Avo, all these things. That's the inyan of kabilas chasodim la'avelim. It's also, it's a Gemara, Mesachas Soita. The Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who buried Moshe Rabbeinu. It's also in the Targum Yonason on that pasuk. Yonason. We said in the introduction sure, we said that a lot of things in Pirkei Eliezer are found as well in Targum Yonason on Chumash. So we look in Targum Yonason on the pasuk of Vayikbar Yisai in Vizay Sabacha Parak Lamidalid pasuk Vav in Sefer Torah. So it says that just like Hashem, he did chesed to Adam and Chava, he got them clothing and he made the shidduch for them, and he did chesed to Avram Avinu when Avram Avinu was sick, so he was mevaker cholim, because when Avram Avinu had his bris, so Hashem came and revealed himself to him, and Hashem came to Yaakov Avinu to be Menachem Avol when his mother died, etc., etc. So too Hashem did chesed to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see, Targum Yonason also says this part, that Hashem is the one that buried Moshe Rabbeinu.
So what does Targum Yonason say?
The same thing that we're saying over here in the Medrash. Laisa, in the Rashi and Chumash, brings down two pshatim really. If you look in Rashi, on that pasuk in Vizesa Bracha, so Rashi says, Vayikbar Esai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvaylei, Hashem Himself. And then it's a Rabbi Shmuel Aymer, Hu Kavar Es Atzmai. Rabbi Shmuel, is quoting a Sifri in Parshas Nasai, Rabbi Shmuel says that Moshe Rabbeinu buried himself. Moshe Rabbeinu buried, what does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu buried himself. Oh, we'll see in a moment what that means. But Pashtus, if it means, if he really buried himself, the way you would read the pasuk is Vayikbar Esai by guy, he, Moshe Rabbeinu, buried himself by the guy. Right, so if Moshe Rabbeinu buried himself, so what are we saying over here? How do we learn out from Kadosh Baruch Hu that you should do Kamilas Chasadim La'avil? So if what you have to say is like this, and my Rebbe Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotskin Shlita says this in the Sefer Gvus Yitzchak on Masechah Saita on Daf Yedal and Aleph. He points this out. Because if you look in Ibn Ezra on this pasuk, the Ibn Ezra writes Vayikbar Esai. He goes with the second shot of Rashi. Who cover Atzmai? Moshe Rabbeinu buried himself. Shenichnas b'me'ora b'gai. Moshe Rabbeinu, because he went into the cave. He died. He ended up dying in the cave. So by going into the cave, it's as if he buried himself. Rabbeinu Hillel, also another Rishon from one of the Greek Rishonim, one of the few Greek Rishonim that we have, has a pirush on the Sifri. He says the same thing as the Ibn Ezra, that he went into the cave. That's what it means that he buried himself. So Rav Yitzchak Sorotskin says that even if you say that that's what happened, but so what made the cave close up and what made the thing come on the ground come on top of him after he died? So that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Everyone agrees that something happened from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So because of that, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Fine.
Actually, in the old days, they used to make ketophone. What ketophone? Ketophone are basically
shelves inside the caves, right? Okay, let's go back. Rabban Gamliel ben Ishel Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer. Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, said like this: Loila Moshe levade gomal Hakadosh Baruch Hu chesed. It wasn't just to Moshe Rabbeinu that Hakadosh Baruch Hu did chesed when he died. Ela af la'aharein, also to Aaron Akein, Hakadosh Baruch Hu did chesed for him when he died. How so? Kishalo lahar hahar, when they went up to Har Hahar, we speak about this. It comes up in Chumash and Parshas Chukas that Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar Akein went up to Har Hahar, and Hashem said, "You know, this is where you're going to die." And Hakadosh Baruch Hu had Moshe Rabbeinu take off the big day kahuna from Aaron, and Elazar Akein wore the big day kahuna gadol, and then and Aaron laid down, and he's like, "Oh, I thought you weren't coming this week." Oh, that was last week.
I did come.
Ah. And then Aaron died. Right? So that was at Har Hahar. So when they went to Har Hahar, Hayumidanim kol shifte Yisrael va'omrim. All shifte Yisrael went up. Were handling. They were discussing, and they said, Moshe ben Elazar hanichos Aaron ba'Har Hahar v'yodu lehem. Moshe and Elazar came back from Har Hahar, and they said to everyone, you know, Aaron, you know, was, you know, he was nifter. And all the Jews were saying, "No, what happened? Moshe ben Elazar hanichos Aaron ba'Har Hahar v'yodu." Really, what happened was Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar went up. They left Aaron up there, and they came back down, and they said that he died. Really, he's not dead. They didn't believe that Aaron HaKohen died. Either you read it like this, ligmo loy chesed, in order to give chesed to Aaron, to give hespedim on, to properly eulogize him. Or you can read that it's supposed to say viligmo loy chesed, and it's really going on the next line. But the other midrashim say that what happened was that the Jews saw in Parshas Korach, after the story of Korach, it says that there was a magefa in Klal Yisrael. People started dying, and there were people that were like half dead and half alive, and they were like on their way out. And Aaron like quickly ran to the Mishkan, and he brought a keteris, and the magefa stopped. Right? So Klal Yisrael saw from that that Aaron HaKohen had power over the Malach HaMavis. So they were saying, how could it be that Aaron HaKohen, who could stop the Malach HaMavis from killing people, how could he himself die? It doesn't make sense. So you must be lying. Really, he's still up there. He's not dead. And what? Right. And they didn't want to eulogize him.
Until they saw him
dead. V'ligmal chesed ma'asal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order to be gomel chesed to Aaron HaKohen, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? So that people would be able to give so that people would agree to give hespedim and eulogize him properly. They took the coffin of Aaron HaKohen. Hashem took the coffin of Aaron HaKohen, and he had it pass over the entire campment of the Jews. And all the Jews saw the coffin of Aaron HaKohen flying and floating in the air. Then Hemino Kigova Aaron Vagamuloi Chesed. Then they believed that Aaron HaKohen really died, and they gave to him chesed, meaning they eulogized him properly. Shnemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayiru kol ha'eda kigova Aaron. And all the nations saw that Aaron died. What do you mean? How did they see that he died? He died in the mountain, right? Elamai, they saw something. That's what we're darshaning over here, that they saw his coffin floating in the air, and that's how they knew that he died. Yeah.
Isn't it right that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov made a davar to Hashem so that people will keep signs before they die?
Yeah.
When they do kapara here and there, whatever, each one of the Abbas, you know, made his own, what's it called? Ask his own, what's it called? Thing to Hashem.
Right, was it?
Avraham
Avinu davened that like people should look older when they're older.
And
Yaakov that they should be sick or something.
Yaakov and Yitzchak or whatever. So one of them is like giving signs that people are gonna die. Just to go like, how old are you? I'm 120. Really? Yeah. And in the middle of the day, like, what? The guy didn't give any sign. So what's happening to Aaron is the same, but the people couldn't believe why, because he wasn't ill.
Who died at 126? Two people in Tanakh. Three people. No, that was 127. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Rivka died at 126. And I think it was Rivka, Yishmael, and Kehos. Yeah, what are you saying? I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's just like a Aaron project. One of the major problems here, I think, is because people...
Oh, that was 133.
The people didn't believe the Aaron
was
it just went up the mountain.
No, not close.
He wasn't sick. Nothing was happening to him. And then he went up the mountain every day, what's it called, trip?
That was 133.
You know, to the top of the mountain with his brother, like, you know, almost every day
Yeah, I don't know.
And then, so Aaron's dead. Why?
It could be because they knew he was going to die anyways, because they knew they were about to go into Eretz Yisrael that year, and they knew that Aaron wasn't going to be going into Eretz Yisrael, so they were sort of expecting it. It could be, I don't know, it's a good question. Yeah, I don't know.
But the main reason...
The question is, what happened to the... what's it called? Whatever the others asked Hashem.
Yeah.
Being signs, being sick, and
being hard. But even nowadays, the mice, not every single person has signs that he's older. Not every single person gets sick before he dies. You know, there's someone in America, Chashev Gadol, who's in his 90s, who has completely black beard, and he doesn't dye his beard. So. It's different.
Yeah, but something to do with my view?
What?
Something to do with my view?
but the main reason was because he said that Aaron, you know, saved the Jewish people from the Malach HaMavet. So the Jewish people were saying if Aaron had the control of the Malach HaMavet, how could he die?
That's correct. That's right. Yeah. He could control the Malach HaMavet, so then
he
wouldn't die himself. But it's kind of a funny question. People know that people die, even though you have the power to what's called postpone the power of the Malach HaMavet, whatever, just like to send him away. Who said you have power over Hashem?
If you look at Rabbi Liomi Izra, I didn't want to go into this too much, but Rabbi Liomi Izra in Kirish V'loi Oid Ella, he has like five questions on this, four questions, and this is one of the questions that he asks. He brings another medrash that says that they were chishid, that Moshe and Elazar were the ones that killed Aaron. It's a whole thing over there. And he has a bunch of questions. He has a whole mahalach. I didn't really want to get into it. Yeah, and Rav Chaim Falaji also says, that it wasn't that they thought that Moshe and Elazar killed him, it's that they thought that Moshe and Elazar left Aaron over there alive, as if it was the Ir Miklat, because they said that maybe Aaron is guilty for killing people because of the Chedah Egel, so because he's guilty for killing people, he has to go into an Ir Miklat, but a Kohen, usually you go to an Ir Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies, but if you are the Kohen Gadol, that means you just go to the Ir Miklat for the rest of your life. So they thought that maybe Moshe and Elazar sent Aaron to stay in the cave as an Ir Miklat, not that they killed him. It's a whole shtickle over here, but I didn't want to get into it too much. Now let's go weiter. L'Moshe loy gamlu chesed ela ha'anashim levat. We're going to speak about the difference between the avelos that Klal Yisrael had for Moshe Rabbeinu and the avelos for Aaron Kohen. L'Moshe loy gamlu chesed ela ha'anashim levat. For Moshe Rabbeinu, only the anashim came to do chesed for Moshe Rabbeinu when he... Only the men came. Shenamar v'yivku b'nei Yisrael as Moshe. The sons of Israel cried for Moshe Rabbeinu. La'aron gamlu ha'anashim v'hanashim chesed. For Aaron Kohen, when he died, both the men and the women came to do chesed. Shenamar, because it says the pasuk v'yivku es Aaron shleishim yoyim. The end of the pasuk says kol beis Yisrael. And we said that the lashon of beis is the lashon of the women, like we said, Kol Yisrael Levnei Yisrael Vesagi Yaakov Vesagi Levnei Yisrael. There's Bnei Yisrael, which we're saying over here means Bnei Yisrael Bnei Yisrael, men and Afghan, not women. But there it says even the women, base, even the base Yisrael, even the women, the bias. Loyal my kosher the base the ishtei the base the mission and Yuma says maskinoly bias acher. So a bias is it refers to the women. So the women cried for Aaron also. By Moshe only the men cried, by Aaron also the women cried. Why? Lama. Why did the women also cry for Aaron, not for, necessarily for Moshe? Shaya Oyev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. Because Aaron Akain was Oyev Shalom, he loved peace, and he Rodev Shalom, he chased after peace. And he would go around the whole camp of the Jews every day, and he would try to make peace between man and wife, and man and his friend. Therefore, all Kol Yisrael gave chesed to Aaron HaKohen, meaning they all came to eulogize and to cry over his death. Only why Dafka Aaron, not Moshe, we spoke about before, when we're talking about in Perek Tezvav, we spoke about chesed and emes. We spoke about the difference between Moshe and Aaron, that we said the Shmuel was both like Moshe and Aaron. So we spoke about over there the union of tzaddik and chesed. That's tzaddik and chesed. Moshe Rabbeinu was tzaddik and Aaron was a chesed. And so we spoke about over there the difference between Moshe and Aaron. Also earlier in Perek Ches we spoke about the role of a kohen in making peace between man and his wife, peace between man and his friend, peace between man and Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. Says the Magish, upasa gzeb loyhu b'makaymai. This is not really the place of this pasuk. Meaning, the pasuk in, if you look at Parshas Chukas and in Parshas Masay, it says that Aaron HaKohen died at Har HaHar. That's what it says. But if you look in Parshas, I believe it's in Ekev, Perek Yud. Pasuk Vav. It says, "Bnei Yisrael nosu mi'beiris bnei Yaakon." Meisera, Israel traveled from Be'eris B'nei Yaakon to Meisera. Sham Meis Aaron ve'ikover Sham ve'ichayin Elazar B'nei Tachtav. That's where Aaron Kain died, and he was buried there. And Elazar's son became the Kain Gadol afterwards, after him. So here in Parshas Ekev it says that Aaron Kain died in Meisera, but in Parshas Chukas and in Masay it says that he died in Har HaHar. So this pasuk over here in Parshas Ekev, it's the wrong place. Why? Pasuk zeh loyhu makaymai. The pasuk is not. This not. It's not the proper place. Ela b'meisera. Let's say in Ekev it says that he died in Meisera. Shom meis aron ve'kover shom. That's lashon of the pasuk. The hela olav akosuk ki ilu meis shom v'nikvar shom. Rather, the pshat is that it's as the Torah looks at it as if he died in Meisera and was buried in Meisera, even though it happened in Har HaHar. The Midrash over here doesn't explain itself, but in other places. Rashi in Parshas Ekev says this, and other Midrashim say that the vort is that if you look in the Seder of the travels of Klal Yisrael on Parshas Maaseh, you'll see that Meisera was actually 8 steps behind Har HaHar. So what happened really was that when Aaron HaKohen died, as a covet for Aaron HaKohen, they went back 8 steps, and then they give Hespedim whatever, and then they continued weiter. So it's as if. It says if Aaron HaKohen died in Meisera because they gave him covered over there, but really he died at Har HaHar. That's what Chazal tells. Why is it a covered for him to go 8 steps? No one ever was able to explain that to me. You guys have any pshat in that? Okay. Rabbi Yosi Omer, let's go right there. Rabbi Yosi says, Shiva Simeha Evel Meinainan Umeidin. Where do we learn out 7 days of Avelus, that when a relative dies, so lo yaleinu, so a person has to be in mourning for 7 days. Where do we learn that? Out from Yaakov Avinu, we learn it from Yaakov Avinu. She'asa lo Yosef shiva simei ha'evel, because when Yaakov Avinu died, so Yosef made for him 7 days of mourning, a period of 7 days of mourning. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, v'yas la'aviv evel shiva simei, that Yosef made for his father evel a mourning for 7 days. And all the chashuv people from all the kingdoms came up with Yosef. Shenemar, when Yosef was going to go bring his father to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, Shenemar says in the pasuk, Vayalu. The Radal says it's supposed to bring a different pasuk. I'll read the other pasuk. Vayalu itoy kol avde farai ziknei beisai, and all the servants of Paro and the elders of his household came. V'chol ziknei Eretz Mitzrayim, and all the elders of Mitzrayim came. Vayal etc. Vayal imoy gam rechav gam parshim, and also the horsemen and the right and the chariots also came. The whole entourage and the whole there was a military parade when Yosef brought the bones of Yaakov Avinu to go to Eretz Yisrael. If you look in Gemara and Sechas Soita, it gives a whole arichus about this, that all the kings of Canaan came, and each one put his crown on the coffin. It's a whole story over there. So the whole Mitzrayim basically came with Yosef when they went to go bury Yaakov Avinu.
You read it in the Radal, right?
Yeah, I read the pasuk from the Radal. Omar, one second. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to them, Atem gemaltam chesed im Yaakov Avdi, you did chesed with my servant Yaakov Avinu. Afani atin lachem, therefore I'm going to give to you, v'levneichem, and to your descendants, sochar tov v'olam hazeh, good reward in this world. Like we've mentioned before, the Rishayim, when they do something good, they get the reward in olam hazeh. So that when they get to olam haba, they'll get complete punishment. Tzadikim, when they do something bad, they get punished in olam hazeh, so that when they go to olam haba, they'll get complete reward. Right? So Hashem is going to give the schar to the Mitzrayim that accompanied Yaakov Avinu to be buried. He's going to give them their schar in olam hazeh. What's the schar? Kishamesa Mitzrayim bayam, when later on the Egyptians are going to die by the sea, by the Kriyas Yamsuf, lo tavu bayam, they weren't drowned in the sea. Meaning they drowned in the sea, meaning they died in the sea. They were drowned, but they didn't get stuck in the sea. They didn't sink down to the bottom and get and that was their aquatic burial for the rest of their eternity. No, or get eaten by fish. That's not what happened. They drowned in the sea and then they got spit up. We spoke about this in Perek Mem Beis when we learned about Kriyas Yamsuf. We also spoke about this. We're going to speak about it in Perek Lama Tes later on. Right, there was a whole machlikas between the earth and Hashem.
Whatever.
Yeah, you remember that?
You kill them, is to take them.
Right. Yeah. So they got spit out of the sea and were actually buried in the ground. V'zochol he cover. They merited to be buried. Shemar, it says in the pasuk, Notisa yemincha. Hashem outstretched. This is in Oz Yasher. Notisa yemincha. Hashem stretched out his right hand. Tivloyem ha'aretz. To destroy the Mitzrayim, but Tivlaim Ha'aretz, they were swallowed up by the ground. It doesn't say they were swallowed by the sea, they were swallowed by the ground, because they were zeichet to be buried. Yeah, what were you going to say, Rabbi Pomeranz?
I have a question, that if I remember correctly, in the Chumash by Yaakov,
yeah.
Yosef asked the Chartumim to have him
embalmed. Yeah.
Pirkei Avos doesn't seem to talk about that. Meaning we're learning from Yaakov Shiva's Yamin.
Right.
We're not learning anything about Kavod from that.
What do you mean Kavod?
Or anti-Kavod, meaning it doesn't seem to be an issue.
Yeah, we didn't discuss it. Could be yeah, could be no, we don't see it either way.
Sort of an odd thing to do, but it was done.
Well,
there seemed to be no problem with it.
Let's get back to that point in a moment, and we'll have a better understanding of it. But we spoke about before that in the previous parak, let's say, we asked, how do we know there's an Indian of Shivas Yemei Mishta by a wedding? How do you know that they're supposed to have a celebration for 7 days? So the beginning of the parak, we said from Rabbi Yosi, he learns it out from Yaakov Avinu. And then the end of the parak, it was, I forgot what it was, Rabbi Shmai, I think it was. Rabbi learns it out from Shimshon the Gibor, right? So we said, why does Rabbi not learn it out from Yaakov Avinu? So we said that the problem with learning it out from Yaakov Avinu is because it was before Matan Torah. So before Matan Torah, that can't tell us what the rule is for after Matan Torah, right?
Same question here then.
So same question here. So we said before that Rabbi Yosi personally understood that that's not a problem. Rabbi Yosi in the last parak was the one that learned out from Yaakov Avinu Shiva Simea Mishta, and Rabbi Yosi, the same person over here, learns out from Yaakov Avinu Shiva Simea Evel. So it's not difficult. Lamaisa, if you look in the Gemara in Mesachas Moed Katan Daf Chaf Amar Aleph, the Gemara says, Minayim Avelus Shiva. How do you know that Avelus is for 7 days? The Chsiv brings a pasuk in Amos, says, V'hofachti Chageichem LeEvel. Hashem said, I'm gonna turn around your festival into mourning. So it says, Ma Chag Shiva, just like the festival is 7 days. When we say Chag in Chazal, Stam Chag usually means Sukkis. So Av Avelus Shiva, so to Avelus is 7 days. That's how we learn it out. 7 days, 7 days. So Tesis asks, what about Shmini Atzeres? So Tesis says, Shmini Atzeres, Chazal look at it as a separate Yantif. Come on, in the Yuma, Yuma Gimel Amar Aleph, I think it is. Yuma says Pazar Kashev. Those are that's the simon of the six things that in regard to those six things, Shmini Atzeres is considered a different yantiv than Sukkos. So Shmini Atzeres is a separate yantiv. The Tesis brings that, and the other Tesis says we have another pasuk. It brings the Yerushalmi in Maseches Ma'id Katan. The Yerushalmi says we have another pasuk. Says the pasuk, "Vayas la'aviv eval shivas yomim." So why don't we learn out from the fact that Yosef made a 7-day mourning for Yaakov, you know, that the mourning is for 7 days? That's what Yerushalmi Moed Chatan asks. So Tosfos says, no, you can't bring a raya from there, because that 7 days was before they buried him. Wait, what happened? If you look good at the pesukim at the end of Parshas Vayechi, what happened? Yaakov died. Yosef made a period of 7 days mourning in Mitzrayim. And then they said, okay, then there was a period, I think after that there was a period of 30 days crying after 7 days mourning, right?
30 days crying, and then they brought up to Hamara
Machpelah. Right. And then, right, it was, and then they brought him to Eretz Yisrael, and they went in a very funny route that they took. So like they passed by like everything. Because they even went to like Jordan, which you don't really have to go to Jordan if you're going from Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, but whatever. And then they went to Eretz Yisrael, and all the kings of Canaan came and they put their crowns on his coffin, whatever, and then they buried him in Canaan. So it was a whole long procedure. So it could be that that's why they had to embalm him. Because otherwise, by the time a month later, you know, the body is going to be.
And Yitzhak were already there. Yaakov was in the time.
Right, yeah.
It was a challenge that I heard that the body of the tzaddik never rots, right?
Right.
So people would start to worship him. Like, who? It's like a semi-god or whatever.
Right.
A man of God. And so Yosef did it on purpose, just like, you know, to cover up the thing, so no one.
So people won't think, oh, he's not, he wasn't preserved because he was a tzaddik, he was preserved because he was embalmed. So people won't worship him.
Yeah. No, he was a tzaddik, because we would think that the body doesn't rot because he never died, actually.
Right.
Because we say about Pharaoh. That he would think, you know, he called himself a...
Called himself a god, yeah.
Whatever, until Moshe Rabbeinu, you know...
Proved him wrong.
Proved him wrong. Yeah. So people had this custom of thinking maybe the guy never died, so he's a...
Right.
That's
and then Tosfos brings that the Yerushalmi itself asks this question: why do we learn from Yaakov? And it says, because we can't learn from before Matan Torah. So that's.
Yeah, that's the question. The thing is, why 7 days?
Why 7 days?
Yeah.
But it was 7 days.
No, if you count 7 days from there, maybe even though we don't learn from before Matan Torah, we can count 7 days. Well, why? The question is why?
No, because we're trying to learn a halacha, but you can't learn a halacha from a period that it was before halacha existed. Let's say.
But it's a minhag. It's a halacha.
No, I'll tell you the truth. If you look good into it, a lot of other cultures also have mourning for 7 days. There's what?
I don't know.
If you look, I looked into it a little bit. If you look in Greek mythology, Lahavdil, so there's an idol called Adonis. It could be it's related to the Tammuz idol. So Adonis, the way they worship him or whatever is that, like, apparently there's like some myth that like he died or something, and I don't remember exactly what it was. And the way they celebrate it is that they have a 7 day period of mourning for him, and then they have a party at the end. So there is an Indian. Also, the Christians have.
They have a wake.
They have a wake after the Shiva.
The Christians have like something called Palm Friday or something, which is like a 7 day period of mourning right before Easter.
Yeah.
It's like there's an Indian. We see in other cultures also there's an Indian of 7 day mourning. But how do you know that it applies to the Torah? So that we have to learn out from the fact that we see that the mourning is compared to the Yom Tov. Yom Tov is 7 days.
Maybe it's like the
opposite. But you wouldn't have realized that unless.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go weiter. This is a shtickle interesting one. Gemilas chasanim laveilim minayin elamedim. Where do we learn out gemilas chasanim for people who are in avelus? Another source. Me'izevel. From Izevel. Everyone knows who Izevel was? Yeah? Izevel was the daughter of the king of Tyre. His name was Esbal. Melech Tzur. He was the king of Tyre, and his daughter Zevel was a very wicked lady, and she was one of the major Asherah worshippers. Baal and Asherah goes together, and basically she was married to the king of Yisrael, Achav, and she sort of got Achav to go off the derech. And we know that Achav is one of the most evil kings of Malchei Yisrael. So really it comes from his wife, who like mamish like pushed them off the derech. And what happened was that Eliyahu Novi had a nevuah that the whole house of Achav is going to be like completely destroyed and devastated or whatever, and a different dynasty is going to come out. And that actually happened when Yehu came and like killed out Achav and his whole Achav's family, and it was after Achav died, but Achav's son and his whole family, and then Yehu himself became king of Yisrael. Or that's basically the story of Achav and Yezebel. So Yezebel, Shohaya Beis HaSamach L'Shuk, Yezebel's house was next to the marketplace.
Jezebel,
yeah. So her house was, her palace or whatever was next to the shuk or next to the street. Every time a chassan would walk by, she would come out of her house, and she would ring with her hands. She would probably had some sort of cymbal that she was shaking and make noise, and she would praise him with her mouth. And she would walk 10 steps to be Malava the Chosin. The Radal says also.
What's the
Chosin? Also, Kawa, there's an
Indian.
What?
What's the shadow of Chosin here? Chosin?
Chosin, a groom, a guy going on his way to get married, or, yeah, a groom.
Okay. No, just a boy.
Yeah, and the Radal says that the tour, when the tour in Evin Ezra, Simon Samach Hei, by the mitzvah of Simchas Chosin and Kala, he brings this medrash, he says Chosin and Kala, so sometimes Chosin, sometimes Kala, even though in the previous parak we just said that there's an inyan to praise the Chosin, of course there's also an inyan to praise the Kala, that's an open Gemara in Ksubis, Kala Noeva Chasuda, whatever, Daf Yuzayin, I think it is. So the Chosin and Kala, she would go out and she would play her cymbal and she would praise them and she would walk with them 10 steps. But that's what she would do for Chosin and Kala. B'chol meis shayoyver b'shuk, and every dead person, every corpse that would be passing through the shuk, every funeral procession that would be passing through the shuk, so she would come out of her house and she would clap with her hands. The lashon of macha bechapel, usually the Radal points out that usually when we use lashon of macha bechapel, it's usually the lashon of clapping, like a happy clapping, like cholatzei asada yimcha uchof, or anorois in the Tehillim Tzadik Ches, in the Shir Shalim of Friday, right? The anorois yimcha uchof, that the naharis are going to clap when Hashem comes out. So that sounds like a happy clapping. So he changes the gear, so maybe to maka bechapel, to like hit with her hands, like hit like in a sad way, not in a happy way, because we're doing it for dead bodies, for dead people. Umekinenetz befiha, and she would lament with her mouth, you know, say eulogize and say sad things. Umehalachas acharav, and she would walk behind the body, and she would, you know, be malava the mace. Over here it doesn't say 10 steps, but Chosin Kala said 10 steps. Here it doesn't say 10 steps. The Radal and Mepharshim say that some Gersos of this Medrash say 10 steps. The Yalkut brings 10 steps. But he says it could be that a mace, there's a shear for a mace. The Tur in Hilchos Avelis in Simin Shin Samach Aleph in Yeridea says that the shear of Levayas HaMace is 4 Amos. So if a person walks 4 amas, that's like the shear of Leviathan. So you don't need 10 steps. So it's only 4 amas is good enough. But Akupadim, that's what Yezebel would go and do for dead body, for a Leviathan. So we see that Yezebel would come out and you know, Gemel Chassid by a Chasana, and also Gemel Chassid for a Leviathan.
Didn't Malachim have a special wedding?
Gowns?
Traditions. Yeah.
Everything, the clause is that everything the Moroccans do is like extravagant. I know I was once at a Moroccan chasana, and however I stayed towards the end, and I was like the second dance or maybe even like a third dance or something. Like they all put on like traditional Moroccan garb and they dance like with, it's like really cool, with Moroccan music and Arabic music. Al Kapana, that's what Yisrael used to do. V'nibe Olaha Eliyahu Zocher L'Tov, and Eliyahu Navi prophesied about her. Eliyahu Zocher L'Tov prophesied about her. V'amar, he said, Bechelek Yisrael Yoichlo HaKlovim Es Besar Yisrael. In the portion of Jezreel, the dogs are going to eat the flesh of Yisrael. However, and that's what happened. However, Vahayivarim Shahayu Gomlin Chesed, those limbs of Yisrael which she used to do chesed, to chasala, and to by levaya, lo yishaltu aleihem haklavim. The dogs did not eat those limbs of Yisrael. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, vayelchu lekavra. They went to go bury Yisrael. V'lo yimatzu ba ki im hagulgoyles v'haraglayim v'chapes hayadayim. They only, when they went to go bury Yisrael, they only found of her skull, her feet, and her hands. That's all they found. And the rest of her body was taka eaten by the dogs, like Eliyahu Navi prophesied. But her skull, her feet, and her hands survived. Why? Because when a chasan kala would come out, or when they were bringing down a person to be buried, she would go out of her house with her feet. So her feet were zeichet to survive. And when they would have a chasad akala, she would shake her hand with a symbol. And when it would be a levaya, she would take her hand and bang sadly. So her hands also were zeicha to survive because she used it to do gemilas chasadim. And her skull, her head, also. She used her mouth to sing the praises of a chasad akala. She used her mouth to lament a dead person. So because of that, her whole skull was zeicha to be saved. The Radal is a shtickle bothered over here. Why her whole skull? Maybe just like her tongue or her mouth. Why the whole head? Why was the whole head zeicha to be saved just because she's saying praises?
Yeah, because she was thinking of bad things all the time. So the brain was used for bad things too.
So yeah. So
skull
without. You're saying good, but the Radal says that if you look in Rashi and the Radak and Sefer Melachim. So when it brings down this idea of why these limbs dafka of Yisrael survived, so Rashi says that she would go, Rashi and the Radak say that she would go out for chasan and kala umikashkeshes bereisha. She would like go like this, you know, like nod her head like for chasan and kala, cover the chasan and kala. Like I guess it's sort of some sort of dancing or something that she would do to cover them. So that's why her head survived. Okay, that's what it says over there. Rabbi Leomi Izmir raises an interesting point. He asks like this. We said that Yisrael was a horribly evil person, and she was one of the people that really brought real Avodah Zarah into the Jewish community. She was one of the biggest sponsors of the Baal and Asher. That was her. That was Yisrael. So we know that the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim is a very chashuv mitzvah. Chazal tell us, we mentioned it Gemara before in Misachah Saita, it says that the beginning of the Torah is Gemilas Chasadim, the end of the Torah is Gemilas Chasadim. Beginning of the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu did Gemilas Chasadim for Adam and Chava when they got married. And the end of the Torah, Hashem did Gemilas Chasadim for Moshe Rabbeinu when he was getting buried. Right? So Gemilas Chasadim is a very chashuv mitzvah, it's not a light thing. So why was Yisrael so makbid in Gemilas Chasadim? She didn't even believe in God, she believed in Avodah Zarah, she was worshipping God, it was her whole life. So why did she bother with this mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim? Huh?
Was she really like performing a mitzvah, or just like she was doing something that was, you know, it was pleasant for her to do because of different things? And on the way,
you hit the nail on the head. That's what Rabbi Leomi Izmir wants to say. He says two answers. The first answer is basically what you said. It says, why did she go out and do this? Not because she actually cared about the chasad kala. Not because she actually cared about the mace. You know why she did it? Because she wants to show off how beautiful her body is, so she's going to like dance and shake her head and shake her body or whatever, so everyone will look at her. And she's gonna sing the praises of the chasad and kala and lament the mace. You know why? Because she wants everyone to say, she has such a beautiful voice. That's why she's doing it. She wasn't doing it for the chasad and kala, for the mace. And Afal Pikain, this is the biggest lesson. Even so, even though she wasn't doing it, you know, for the other person, she was doing it really for herself, still, it's a zchus for her and she got saved. Like we said, we spoke about in the last parak, even doing chesed by going to someone's chasana, that's called chesed. Even though you're going there, so you can get a nice geshmak meal, catered meal, and whatever, and have a good time, but that's still called chesed. So here, even though she was being selfish for it, it's still called chesed. She still was zechah to survive.
That's why you always do a couple mitzvahs,
a body. Right. But I was thinking a little bit differently, that the pshat is because when you talk about a mitzvah ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chaver, so it works in two different ways. When you talk about a mitzvah ben adam l'makom, so what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is the action, right? What Hashem told you to do something, you do it, that's the mitzvah. When you're talking about ben adam l'chaver, the mitzvah is not necessarily the action. The mitzvah is really the outcome. The fact that you did something good, or if we're talking about an avera ben adam l'chaver, something good or something bad, to your friend, that's the mitzvah or the avera.
Saying chasan akal because they were.
Because at the end of the day, the chasan akal were happy, so you see, you're mekayim the mitzvah.
The zchut.
Right.
What she did.
Right.
Anyway, the only thing that was, let's not forget, the other thing was saved was like the skull, hands, and feet to be buried. That's the only
thing. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, she was a horrible person.
But the bones, yeah. The limbs, just like horrible.
The other pshat Rabbi Yomi Izmir says is that that of course she even though she was a Ovid of Avodah Zarah and she was a horrible person, whatever, but at the end of the, you know, she's the one who told Achav to kill Novois because Achav wanted his vineyard, right? So she wasn't so friendly, right? We know she wasn't so friendly. She told her husband to kill a guy just so he could take the guy's vineyard. So we know she wasn't so. The point is like this: Rabbi Leo Mizra says that even her, who was complete Ovid of Avodah Zarah and didn't even believe in Hashem, she recognized that the world stands on Gemilas Chasadim. We said in the previous parak that Al Shosh Adorim Ha'ilam Ma'imid Al Tera Al Avayda Gvilas Chasadim. It's so obvious and it's so important to the world that even the Ovid of Avodah Zarah recognizes it. So that's why she was still makbid in it, because she realized that that's the foundation of the world. Even though, let's say, she's not masking the Torah and Avodah, or she had a different Avodah and definitely didn't have a Torah, but that's her. Fine. Let's go by what, you know, what time it is?
9:27. Okay. We'll do one more point over here. Interesting, we learn Kibud Avim from Goyim.
Yeah.
Learn this from Russia, Rasha Gamma.
Right.
Interesting. Why is the Torah Chadish this to us from?
You see
from the wrong side.
No, you see even there might be.
Yeah.
Even a Russia is not. I don't know. But let's go weiter. Gemilas Chasadim, we're not going to mamish finish this whole part, but we'll see how much we can do. Gemilas Chasadim la'avelim minayin anu lemedim. Where do we learn out Gemilas Chasadim for avelim, for people who are in mourning, that you should do chesed to them? Another source. Me'an she Yavesh Gilad, from the people of Yavesh Gilad. You guys know where Yavesh Gilad is? Yavesh Gilad is in the portion of Shevet Menashe, across from the Yarden. You know, they're hanging out over there. Very good. They're hanging out over there with like Amon and Moav over there across. What? He said he was looking at it yesterday.
Huh?
He's learning Sefer Yeshua or Shoftim.
I was at the Yam HaMelech.
Oh, you were looking. Oh, you were literally looking at it. You're at the Yam HaMelech, right?
There's another place named Mitzvah Yerichon. Some
yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mitzvah Yerichon? Yeah. My wife's grandparents live there.
What?
My wife's grandparents live there.
Oh, really?
In Mitzvah Yerichon. I've been there for Shabbos a few times.
Nebi Moshe,
which may or may not be where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, but Pashtus not, but because the pasuk says The pasuk says that he's not buried there. It says lo yada ishes kavura soyet. Ad yom hazeh. Ad vav lecha. Okay, gemilas chasanim avelim minayin and olmedim. Where do we learn gemilas chasanim for people who are in avelus? Be'anshe yavish gilad, from the people of yavish gilad. Why? Kishenerag Shaul uvanov, when Shaul and his sons were killed, they were killed not mamish in battle, but on the battlefield, and their bodies were taken away by the enemy. Amru anshe yavish gilad, the people of yavish gilad said, ha'ish shehitzilonu mechepas b'nei amayin, the man who saved us from the embarrassment of Bnei Amon. Bnei Amon attacked the people of Yavish Gilad, and Shaul HaMelech led the Jews to a successful victory and saved the people of Yavish Gilad. So are we not obligated to give to him Chesed and his body is over there by the enemies? All the strong men of Yavish Gilad went. They went up the wall of the city called Beis Shein, where the body of Shaul was in captivity. Shinemar says the pasuk, all the Anshei Chayil got up and they carried the body of Shaul and his head. By the way, they didn't take his head because his head ended up in the temple of the Avodah Zarah Dogon, and they couldn't get into the temple. They just got into the city. Lavelim, for people who are in avelus, usually menachemim balachem uvayayin. The way you have like a suda with them and try to be menachem them with bread and wine. Shenemar v'yayin lamori nafesh. It's pasuk in Mishlei. It says wine for people who are mori nafesh. Their souls are bitter, meaning they're sad. It's also the Gemara in Erevin Samech Gimel Manalef. It says the lenivra yayin ela lenachem bayavelim. You sit with wine and you try to cheer them up. But Anshe Yavish Gilad, or that's what Avelim drink, sort of. Yeah, Anshe Yavish Gilad, the people of Yavish Gilad, who you gave them Chesed im Shaul v'im Banav, b'tzoyim uvechiru mitzpeid. The people of Yavish Gilad, they paid their tribute to Chesed to Shaul and his sons with tzoyim, with fasting, uvechir and crying, umitzpeid and eulogies. Shnemar, as it says in the pasuk. And they fasted for 7 days. And the Radal says, it says they fasted. It doesn't say all other things. But usually fasting and these other things, they all go together. Esther. So they all go together. And it says 7 days. So that's how you know that it had to do with their Avelis, because we know Avelis is 7 days also. Right. So that's the people of Yavish Gilad, they did chesed to Shaul HaMelech. Hashem said to them, "Ani attain scharchem lo'asid lavoi. I'm going to give you your schar in the future." Like we said, tzaddikim who do good get their schar. Tzaddikim who do good, they get their punishments in olam hazeh, so they can get all the reward in olam haba. So these are tzaddikim, and they did good. Hashem is going to give them their schar in olam haba. Kshani asked, "What's the schar of Anshe Yavish Gilad?" Kshani asked, "Lekabetz Yisrael me'aba pinesoris." When I'm destined to gather all the Jews from the four corners of the world, Rishayin humikavitz chatzi shevet Menashe. First, Hashem is going to bring out chatzi shevet Menashe. We said before that the people of Yavish Gilad are from Menashe on the other side of the Yarden. Who was on the other side of the Yarden? Reuben, Gad, and half of Menashe. Menashe was split into two areas. There was Menashe on one side of the Jordan with Reuben and Gad, and there was Menashe on the other side of the Jordan in the rest of it, in Eretz Yisrael proper, let's call it. Right? So there's two parts of Shevet Menashe. The pasuk says Shenamar Li Gilad v'Li Menashe. When Hashem, the Chazar understanding this pasuk and Tehillim to be talking about in the future when Hashem is going to bring back all the Shvatim to be Ma'aseh Mashiach. So it says the first Li Gilad, first to me is Gilad, and Gilad is that half of Shevet Menashe which is in the Evar Yarden. So that's Yavish Gilad v'Li Menashe, and then Menashe, Hashem is going to bring up the rest of Shevet Menashe. But after Kach Mekabetz Ephraim v'Yehudah, and then Hashem is going to bring back Ephraim and Yehudah to Eretz Yisrael. Shemar says the pasuk, Ephraim ma'oiz Raishi, Yehudah mechaykeki. Then it says Ephraim, then it says Yehudah, and that's the order that Hashem is going to bring back everyone to Eretz Yisrael. First, people of Yavish Gilad, they're first because they did Chesed to Shaul HaMelech, so they get to return first. Then the rest of Menashe, then Ephraim, then Yehuda. That's what it says in the Medrash.
Is it better call the Indian name Menashe
What?
The Indians.
The Indians, the B'nai Menashe? I don't know.
Is there a connection over
there? It could be. I think they're also called like B'nai Moshe. I'm not sure exactly how it works. They call themselves B'nai Menashe, B'nai Moshe. They're a little bit confused. So they've been away from us for so long that they don't know exactly what they're saying anymore. They sort of lost exactly what their Messiah is. So like they have a few things that they do, and they do some funny things. Well, the Paisim discuss if we consider them Jewish or not. And Rav Avad Yosef wrote Shuvah about it. I remember Tzitz Eliezer also. I don't remember exactly what they say, but it's not Pashit. There's some Indian tribes that people say that maybe are from B'nai Menashe or B'nai Moshe. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. So there's two interesting discussions over here. There's two interesting discussions over here. Which one do you guys want to hear first? The halachic one or the gadita one?
The gadita one.
Okay, he wants to hear the gadita one. Okay. And nobody said anything else. So
then you're just talking about the order. I want to hear both.
Oh. We said that they came and the people of Yavesh Gilead did chesed with Shaul and with Shaul's son Yonatan, and was killed with him. Right? So they said, you know, Shaul, who saved us from Cherpas B'nai Amon, from the disgrace at the hands of Amon, aren't we obligated to give him chesed? Right? So when after they did this and they saved Shaul HaMelech's body and they buried him over there in Yavesh Gilead, next week we're going to speak about when they buried Shaul HaMelech in Shaul HaMelech's proper burial place. But for in the meantime, he's buried in Yavish. It was going to be buried in Yavish Gilad. So David HaMelech came and he thanked them. It's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. It says David HaMelech said to them, "Bruchim atem laHashem, you're blessed to Hashem. Asher asisem hachesed hazeh im adoneichem im shol v'tikvaray oisai. Blessed are you to Hashem that you did this chesed with your master Shaul and you buried him." And David HaMelech was showing that he respected the people of Yavesh Gilead for taking the initiative and doing this daring mission to go get back the body of Shaul and then being able to bury him. So he said that you did this chesed. So the Radal says a very interesting point. He brings from the Vilna Gaon, the Pirush HaGra in Aderes Eliyahu from the Gaon on Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. Over there talking about Rachav Hazayna. She saved the two spies that came to check out Eretz Yisrael, and then she asked of them that they should do for her chesed ve'emes. And basically, the Mofarshim say, "What's the chesed ve'emes?" The Goyin says, "The chesed is that the emes is like this: I saved you, so when the Jews come in to conquer Eretz Yisrael, you guys should save me. That's the emes. And the chesed, says the Goyin, is that she also wants that you should save her family." So there's two dargas. There's chesed and emes. Emes is when you do something for me, and I feel an obligation to do something back for you. That's emes. Chesed is to do more than what you did for me.
The exact same thing it was.
What?
Save,
right. Yeah. But here it's just save you, and it's save you, and also save your family.
But right? Emes is mida keneged mida.
Right. Emes is mida keneged mida. Chesed is doing more. That's what the Goyin says. Chassid, right? Chassid and Tzadik, right? It's the same idea. It's sort of the same idea. But so the Radal says that's what David HaMelech was trying to say, that he was telling the people of Yavesh Gilead, it's not that I respect you stam because you went and you buried Shaul HaMelech because he saved you. It's more than that. You did chesed to him. The manager said that they said, "Oh, you know, he saved us, so we should go do for him, right?" But they were doing more than what he did for them. They saved that he caused them to be saved, that they didn't get killed. They're going and paying respect to him as a dead person and doing a daring mission, risking their lives to go get his body and give him a proper burial. That David Melech is saying, that's a chesed. That wasn't the emes that you did for him. That you were obligated to do. You did more than you were obligated to do, and for that, you guys are bruchim atem l'Hashem. That's what the Radal says. That's the Radal in Eis Chof Ches, if you want to look at it. If you look at the Goyin over there in Yishur Gron on Sefer Yeshua, he speaks about this a little bit more by Richus, and he says another point of this Chesed and Emes. So you have a pasuk, Titin emes liyakov, chesed lavram. Hashem gave emes to Yaakov, he gave chesed to Avram. Why to Avram he gave chesed to Yaakov, he gave emes? So the Goyin says, because by Avram, Hashem did chesed to him. He said, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. I'm not obligated to give you Eretz Yisrael. I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. So he's giving him a chesed. And Hashem made a shvuah that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to Avram Avinu. And by the time we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, he's not doing him a favor. He's not doing him a new thing. He's doing emes. Because he already gave a shvuah to Avram that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to their family. So that's the emes is what he's already obligated to do. Kibiyachol, if Hashem is obligated to do things. That actually reminds me of something that I meant to speak about in the beginning, but I didn't. But whatever. Okay. So that's the Goyim's Pshat in Titin Emes Yaakov Chesed LeAvram. Really, the Ibn Ezra sort of is meramis to this idea, this difference between the terms Chesed and Emes in the context of Eliezer getting a shidduch for Rivka, where it says over there in Parshas Chayisar, Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Mem Tes, that Eliezer said to them, "V'ato im yeshchem oisim chesed ve'emes es ayni hagiduli." If you're going to do chesed ve'emes for my master, tell me so that you can give your daughter to marry my master's son. So it's called chesed ve'emes. So the Ibn Ezra says, "What's chesed? Chesed is davar she'ein chayev. If I do something I'm not obligated, that's called chesed. You learn by implication that emes is something that you're chayev. That's chesed ve'emes." I found interesting, this is very interesting. I found a sefer, there's one of the Rishonim in Masechet Pesachim is called Maram Chalava. If you ever learn Masechet, one of the important Rishonim called Maram Chalava. He also has Tshuvas Maram Chalava. So he has a son, Rabbi Yehuda Chalava, who has a sefer on Chumash, just on Bereshis, called Imre Shefer, just on Bereshis. So he, in Parshas Vayechi, says the exact same word as the Vilna Gaon. From the vart in by Rachav Azayin and Yeshua down to the vart over here in Titan Emes LeYaakov, and here he says it in another thing. When Yaakov Avinu at the end of his life said to Yosef, he said to him, "V'asisa imodi chesed ve'emes, do for me chesed ve'emes." So he explains that in light of what we just said. So chesed and emes is like this. The chesed that Yaakov Avinu wanted from the MS is that Yaakov Avinu wanted from Yosef that he should be buried. Because Yosef, you have a moral obligation to bury your father. When a person has a moral obligation to bury his father when he dies. So Yaakov tells Yosef, MS, you have an obligation to bury me. So first of all, I want you to bury me. Second of all, I want you to do for me chesed. What's the chesed? I want you to be matriach yourself, to take toil and bother yourself to get me and bring me all the way to Eretz Yisrael and bury me dafka in Eretz Yisrael. That's the chesed and the emes. The emes is stam to bury me because you're obligated, and the chesed is to do more than what you're obligated. Bring dafka and Eretz Yisrael, dafka and Maris HaMachpelah. Other Rishonim also say this idea. But he says the same chilek between chesed and emes. Rashi in Chumash famously says a different word. Chesed for emes, that when burying somebody is called chesed shel emes. Because usually when you do a chesed, so you have in mind that, you know, I'm doing you a favor, and then next week you're going to do me a favor, so that's why I'm doing you a favor. But when you're doing a favor for someone who's dead, so you don't have that in mind. So that is Rashi says, that's why it's called chesed shel emes, the chesed of emes, the chesed. Okay. The Goyin actually in Parshas Vayechi, by chesed of emes, has a different pshat. He says that chesed is what he wants you to do, and emes is the fact that I can rely on you to do it. And that's what the emes is. Okay.
Like an obligation. So.
Right. It could be it's a similar idea. Now that it's an obligation, now that you agreed to do it, now you have an obligation? Maybe.
Because now that you agreed to do it, you might do it in the best way possible.
Yeah. That you're obligating yourself.
A human, a finite being cannot necessarily always do it. Hashem, therefore Hashem, when he's he's doing this knowing that he's going to fulfill it.
Alright, so okay, now the other discussion. We brought a pasuk that says Vayakumu kol anshei chayil Vayisu es gufa shol. All the strong men came and they carried the goof of Shaul, the body of Shaul. So the Radal says this pasuk appears twice in Tanakh, basically. It says once in Sefer Malachim, in Sefer Shmuel, where it talks about this story, and once again in Divrei Yamim, when it repeats the story. The difference is that in Sefer Divrei Yamim, it says Gufas Shol, body of Shol, and in Sefer Shmuel, it says Gvias Shol, the body of Shol. So there's a Guf and a Gvia. They both mean body. They both mean corpse. For some reason, the Medrash over here chose the pasuk in Divrei Yamim instead of the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. So why? What's the difference between Gvia and Guf? Why did it choose the pasuk that said Guf as opposed to the pasuk that said Gvia? That's Radal's question. So the Radal says like this. It says that the difference between Guf and Gvia is that a Guf means Guf as opposed to the Reish. In a lot of places in Chazal, we speak about the Guf as opposed to the Reish. That there's the head and then there's the Guf. Reishai v'gufai. Reishai, like in regard to Hilchos Sukkah. So you have to have Reishai, your head, and your body in the Sukkah. Right? Or most of it, whatever, most of your body. Rav Reishai v'rubai. Rav Reishai v'gufai. Rav Gufai v'Reishai. Right? So we speak about, when we use the term Guf, it means Guf as opposed to the head. The term Gvia means Guf, includes the head. So that they both mean body, but one means body with the head and one means body without the head. So he says, the Radal says that the Medrash chose this pasuk in Divrei Yamim, which is Guf as Shol, as opposed to Gvi as Shol, which it says in Shmuel, because the pasuk of Guf as Shmuel is more appropriate because we're talking about Shol Melech's body without his head. Because I said before that his head ended up in the temple of the Avodah Zarah of Dagon. So they were just getting his body without the head. That's why it chose the pasuk of Gufa, not Gvia. That's what the Radal says. And if I happen to see this week, I'm learning Biro Gra and Sefer Mishlei. Biro Gra and Mishlei, Perek Gimel, pasuk Chavav. The Biro Gra says, without really explaining himself, he says, Guf is Chitzonios, Gvia is Pnimios. Why? So even though they both technically mean the same thing, but Guf is Chitzonios because it means without the head. So it's just a body without a head. Gvia means with the head, so it's Pnimius, because the head is the place of thought, and the thought is where you have Pnimius. If it's just a body without a head, then there's no thought. There's no Pnimius. So that's probably Pshat in the Gain. What the Gain is saying.
Yaakov put the stones over his head.
Yeah.
To protect his body.
Right.
But to protect himself.
Because the head is the seat of the intellect.
Because he didn't want to put he said, if my body has to go, there's a pshat, my body has to go there because I have to do it. The ulam hazeh is obligated to do it.
Right.
But my head is still, protected, and I'm still like the son of who I am, and I'm not going to change. The world of the time is not going to change my inside. So that's what's protecting the head.
Right. So this brings one second. This brings us to a very interesting discussion over here. That b'siyata d'shmaya, there's a mission in Yevamos in the last parak of Yevamos. Last parak of Yevamos is talking about agunos, cases of a woman whose husband disappeared or is gone or whatever, and we don't know if he's dead or not. Can we allow her to get remarried? Can we assume it's a big issue? So the Mishnah parak Tezayin. Mishnah Gimel in Maseches Yevamos. It says, if you find a dead body and you're trying to identify the body, is it this lady's husband or not? So the Ein Me'eden, we can't give edus that this guy is dead. Ela al partzuf aponim imachaitim, except on partzuf aponim, the form of the face, which the Gemara says is talking about the forehead, imachaitim, with the nose. Even though you have other simanim on his body and on his person and with his kelim, like let's say clothing or if he's wearing glasses or whatever, yeah, that's what it says in the Mishnah. You can't positively identify a corpse unless you recognize the forehead and the nose, basically, and the form of the head. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Yeah. Even though on the rest of the body, you have simanim, which the Gemara says it's talking about simanim which aren't like the best simanim, but are okay simanim. If it's like the best simanim, then that actually does work. But called a simon mubak. But a simon, we call it simon benini, a middle simon. You know, like he has a pimple over a birthmark over here or something, and you know that he had a birthmark over this. So you say that's a simon. No, that's not good enough. If you have something, basically the gather is if it's something that only occurs in 1 out of 1,000 people, so then you could positively identify based on that simon. But if it's less than 1 in 1,000 people, then that type of simon is not good enough. Okay, all right. The point is that you can only be made on a person from parts of panim and the nose, even if he has simanim on the goof. That's what the Mishnah says. That's Pash. I just read to you Pash of Shan the Mishnah. Taisis, Mesechus Yevamos, Daf Kuf Chof Amud Aleph, brings in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam writes a tshuva in Sefer Yosher about this, and all the Rishonim bring Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says a huge kula. The Shulchan Aruch brings Rabbeinu Tam. He says that everyone argues with him, but they say that you could use Rabbeinu Tam to join with other things to be mitzaref to be matter of certain cases. But Rabbeinu Tam says a huge chiddush. Rabbeinu Tam says this Mishnah is only talking about a case where you found just the guy's head. If you found the guy's body, then you can rely on other parts of the body to as a simon to who it is. But if you found just the head, then you can only use parts of panim, the form of the face, the forehead, and the nose. That's only if you just found the head. If you found the whole body, then you could use the rest of the body. If you just found the head, then these are the things on the head. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. All the Rishonim argue. Ramban, Rajba, Ritva, and Yevamos, they all say, what do you mean? It says in the Mishnah, Afa pishi yesh simonim begufoy, even though there's simonim in the goof. That means that we're talking about where the goof is here. Right? How can you say we're only talking about where it's just the head? It says that even though there's simonim in the goof. So the Mishnah is saying that it must be that there's a goof here.
Huh?
Is there what? Is there an issue with Rabbeinu Tam?
No, I'm asking.
So you hear the question on Rabbeinu Tam?
Yeah,
So the body and the head together. What? Right. That's what it seems like from the Mishnah.
So
the Ur Zeruah is one of the Rishonim. The Ur Zeruah, Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. So the Ur Zeruah, when he brings down the tshuva from Rabbeinu Tam, he writes. He's probably quoting Rabbeinu Tam. That Rabbeinu Tam says that the din of Rabbeinu Tam is that when you have the head, so you can only identify the body based on parts of panim, padachas, and chaitem, right? These three things. And he says, as opposed to his lips and his neck and his chin. That's what the Ur Zeruah says. So there is a footnote in the new print of the Ur Zeruah from Mochin Yerushalayim. He wants to use this to answer the question of the Rishonim. Says the Rishonim asked. It says in the Mishnah, "Afal b'shish simanim begufoy." So that sounds like we have the rest of his body too. It says no. Rabbeinu Tam understood that there's the parts of the head that you could use to identify him, parts of panim, padachas, and chaitem, and then there's also the rest of the head. He says Rabbeinu Tam understood that when the Mishnah says gufoy, that just means the rest of the head that's not part of the head that you could use to identify him. And that's why he's speaking out. The lips, the neck, the chin, these things are part of the head, and that's what Rabbeinu Tam understood the Mishnah means when it says simanim begufoy. Let's say he has like a weird chin, like he's like Jay Leno, right? It's like a weird chin, like popping out. Right? So that's not that you can't use to positively identify him. If you just find the head, that no, you can't use that. Rabbeinu Tam says you can't use that. That's called afal pishish simanim begufoy. That's called simanim begufoy. You can only use parts of panim, the nose, the forehead, whatever. That's what the footnote on the bottom of the Ur Zeruah wants to say, the new print. Well, I want to say that no, it can't be pshat, because we just said that gufoy means the body without the head. So you can't tell me that gufoy in this Mishnah means dafka, part of the head that's not. That you're not allowed to use to identify. Gufay means dafka, not the head. So I want to argue on the footnote of in the Ur Zeruah. I don't know who wrote it, but according to what we're saying over here, gufa means dafka, not the head. At least if you look.
It sounds a little different too, because it says in the Mishnah, goof.
Yeah.
It says all this zmanim and benonim and mufakim and whatever.
No, the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Gemara talks about it, but yeah.
The Gemara talks about it.
Yeah.
Explains the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is talking about the whole thing, apparently. Was the Gemara wrong? Does the whole question of the Rabbeinu Tam goes on the Gemara?
Right. There is an answer for Rabbeinu Tam. The Eitzra Paiskim in Simen Yud Zayin, Sif Chav Hei, on page 171, brings from the Chassam Sefer an answer for the Rabbeinu Tam, but it's so technical that I don't think I understand it myself, unless we're like really going into circle. But could be there is an answer for Rabbeinu Tam. It's not such a good answer, maybe, and that's why we don't pass it like Rabbeinu Tam. But the Rishonim said that, the Acharim said that you could be mitzar for Rabbeinu Tam to be makel in certain cases.
There is an interesting thing when it comes to Eger Arufa.
Yeah.
When you find the body separated from the head.
So then you bring the head to the body.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the Radal mentions that. I saw someone mentioning that. Yeah. Oh, the Radal mentions that, what you just said. Yeah. The Radal mentions it. And he brings a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Saita Memhemed Beis. If you look over there in parentheses, the Radal says, Moilichin Horesh Eitzel Aguf, that's talking about Eger Arufa. Yeah. That you bring the head to the body. Just one, Mamish, one last point. I meant to speak about this when we started the beginning of the parak. It's a little bit tangential, but it's an interesting idea. We said in the beginning of the parak that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself went and buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? So if you look in the Tesis and Menachos and the other Rishonim also bring this down, that we have a Kabbalah from the Goinim. Shabbos by Mincha, we say these three psukim after Shmoneh Esrei, Tzidkas Chatzedek, Va'olam Mitzvah Esrei Ames, etc. So why do we say these three psukim? So the Goinim tell us that there are three tzaddikim that died Shabbos afternoon: Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef HaTzaddik, and David HaMelech. So we say these three psukim as a way of mourning the death of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yosef HaTzaddik and David HaMelech. So Moshe Rabbeinu died Shabbos afternoon. And Moshe Rabbeinu was buried Shabbos afternoon also. The Rishonim said he died and he was buried Shabbos afternoon. So the question is, How did Kodesh Baruch Hu bury Moshe Rabbeinu? You can't bury him on Shabbos. You can't bury him on Shabbos. It's also to bury on Shabbos. Digging, smokes, there's a lot of different issues. So, there's a general question about, we find that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mekayim Mitzvah's essays. For sure Mitzvah's essays. Bikur Cholim, we say he went to visit Avram Avinu by the Bris Milah. He went to visit B'Menachem Oval to Yaakov Avinu. He went to, he made a Shidduch for Adam and Chava. We see Hashem is Mekayim Mitzvahs Esses of Chesed. We find the Gemara in Nesachas Brachas says that Kodesh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. There's other Gemara, there's actually a famous vort from the, I believe it's from the Telas Yaakov, one of the early Mukubalim Rishonim. He says the reason we say Bracha when we do a mitzvah, we say Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav v'tzivanu. Hashem was Mekadosh us b'mitzvaysav, with His mitzvahs. Why is it His mitzvahs? It's our mitzvahs. It's not His mitzvahs. He says, no, all the mitzvahs that we do, Hashem also does those mitzvahs. Right? So all the mitzvahs, Hashem does those mitzvahs as well. There's a question in the Mefarshim, in the Acharnim, does Hashem also keep, and even the Rishonim discussed it a little bit, Hashem also keeps Isurim? If something is usur to do, Hashem also refrains from doing that Isur?
Meaning the question is, why does it rain on Shabbos?
For example, why is the rain on Shabbos? That we're going to talk about, hopefully, in Perek Yud Ches.
To water on the ground on Shabbos.
Oh, yeah. Consequence.
Or in Shemitah.
Hashem, no, that's the Rabban.
Uh-huh.
You're allowed to water if it's for Hashem.
So he doesn't keep the Rabban. So some of Farshim say that the Pshat is that, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzava Ve'ina Mitzuvah. He commands, but he himself was not commanded. It's the lashon of a Das Akenim, Parshas B'Shalach. The Hashem said that Klal Yisrael should be Yachnu Api Achirais Lifnei Bal Tzafoyin. They should encamp in the beginning before Kriyas Yamzuf. They should encamp right in front of Bal Tzafoyin, which is the name of Avodah Zarah. Hashem told them if they kept, but there's an Isra, you're not allowed to mention the name of Avodah Zarah, so you can't, Al Tifnu El Alilim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samach Gimel and Beis, says that you're not allowed to say, oh, meet me next to this such and such church, or such and such Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to say that, because you're not allowed to stop mention their name to mark a place. So how could Hashem do that? So Das Akenim, I believe it was Das Akenim, asked this question. He says, no, Hashem is Mitzavah Ve'ena Mitzuvah. Hashem commands, but He Himself is not commanded. So he said, "Had Hashem bear Moshe Rabbeinu on Shabbos?" Hashem commands, but it's not commanded. He could do whatever he wants. It is Hashem. Another answer, there's a sefer called Nachas Binyamin. He asks this question in Mitzvah Kuf Tes Vav Eis Yud Gimel. I spent a lot of time last night trying to find it, and I found it. Also, there's another sefer I found yesterday, Tiferes Lamaisha on Yered Deya, which is a sefer that Rabbi Kiveger in his Hagos and Shulchan Aruch brings from Tiferes Lamaisha a lot. In the back of the sefer, there's Hespedim from different people on the Machaber. So someone, Reb Shloim, I think it was the son of the Tiferes Lamaisha, he sort of asks this question in the sefer Tiferes Lamaisha in the back, and he says, "How could a Kodesh Baruch Hu bury Moshe Rabbeinu on Shabbos?" So he says the cute word. He says we know that Misa Sadikim is Machaper like a korban. That's why it says. It says by Miriam, Vatikover Sham. And we learn Sham to Eglo. No, we learn
from the
Paraduma. Right, Mrs. Miriam is right after Paraduma, and therefore, we, just like Paraduma is mechaper and averis, so too Mrs. Tzadikim is also mechaper and averis. So he wants to say that it's like a void in the Beis Hamikdash. Mrs. Tzadikim is like a void in the Beis Hamikdash. So just like a void in the Beis Hamikdash, a carbon tumet, they do carbon tumet on Shabbos. Carbon musaf, they do carbon musaf on Shabbos. So too, carbonos in the Beis Hamikdash, the ones that are kashur to the day, are mechaper on that day. So you have to bring it on that day. It's day Shabbos. So too, Mises Tzadikim is also Doicha Shabbos, and that's why Kodesh Baruch was able to bury Moshe Rabbeinu on Shabbos, because it's like a korban. Now, I don't know why burying him is like a korban. The death is like a korban. The burying is not. Okay, well, that's the vart that he says. I think we'll speak a little bit more about this Indian of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chayv and Mitzvahs. Hopefully, in Perek Yud Chesed, it'll come up again. Thank you for coming and staying. Have a good Shabbos.